devil's advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. I'd like to welcome a guest, first-time arriver, Charlotte Dennett. She is an author and a journalist. I've got her book, Follow the Pipelines, Uncovering the Mystery of a Lost Spy and the Deadly Politics of the Greater Game for Oil. Charlotte, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, I love the title.
Your great book title. Or my radio show?
No, the devil's advocate. I like that.
Well, the devil joins me most days about 5 o'clock. But Charlotte, if you'll bear with me, I'll do the interview for now. Time magazine calls you an expert in resource-based politics. And in this case, we're talking fossil fuels. And I quoted your publicist, or more accurately, she quotes Henry Kissinger. And the statement was, if you control the oil, you control the world effectively. So tell me what that means in the current geopolitics in what's going on with the Ukraine and Russia right now.
Yeah, well, it's very relevant. But I think the first thing that your listeners need to understand, taking up from Henry Kissinger's comment, and by the way, he was the protege of Nelson Rockefeller, which was belonged to the preeminent oil family in the world during the 20th century, so he should know. You know, when you ask people, why is oil important? Let's start with oil. And they'll come up with explanations about industry and gasoline and all of that. But what they miss, because they're not told, is that oil is the fuel of the military, first off. So that was the military machines around the world are the biggest consumers of oil, and any country that aspires to be a major power in the world has to have secure oil supplies, and that also means secure pipeline routes that can distribute the oil. So when we come up to the issue of Ukraine, first of all, I'm sure folks have seen the scenes of black smoke billowing up into the sky, and that's from oil depots or refineries that have been hit, and they've been deliberately hit on either side to try to slow down the advance of the trucks and whatever else consumes oil in the military. And we know that slowed up the Russian advance early on into Ukraine. They literally ran out of oil. And to me, that's not surprising, because we can go back as far as World War I and World War II and know that Germany ran out of oil in both those wars. They ran out of fuel. So it's very important to control this stuff. And then there's other factors that pertain to Ukraine, and that is the distribution of natural gas through pipeline systems through Ukraine. And I can elaborate on that, but the way I look at this crisis, I'm calling it potentially the mother of all energy wars, and if it escalates and even gets us into possible nuclear war. But there is a very overwhelming energy component to this whole conflict that does not get emphasized enough. Unless you look at separate things like, oh, the cost of fuel is going up, and you know I have to pay more at the pump, or people worrying that Russia is going to turn off their natural gas in certain countries in Eastern Europe, and they're all scrambling to find alternative supplies. But there's a much deeper game going on here. I call it the great game for oil and natural gas.
Let's also talk about how monetary policy is sort of tied, perhaps in part, to this action of Putin. What is his policy with the ruble, and how is he trying to force, let's call it, hostile foreign parties to only do business with his country effectively in his chosen monetary means? They're trying to push the dollar policy out, are they not?
Well, that's what he's trying to do. Last I looked, he was demanding that Poland and Bulgaria pay for their supplies in rubles, and I think they're resisting if I saw that correctly. But if they're resisting, then they're probably going to have to find alternative sources, and that's why there's this mad scramble going on. Usually oil and natural gas is paid for in dollars, all right? And that's why you have the term petrodollars. But there are a number of countries that want to move away from the dollar as their reserve currency. And so Putin's trying rubles, and some have tried euros. So there are also these financial wars that are going on behind the scenes. They're really all tied in. It's like, how do you make an empire work? You got to control the oil. You got to have the money tied up in a certain currency that's going to pay for the oil, and you also need the military to protect the oil. And all these factors are playing out in Ukraine, but the full context isn't being delivered to the average listener or viewer. They tend to look at sort of isolated things and thinking what a mess it is.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to reset. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Fine guest. She is Charlotte Dennett. She is the author and journalist. And before we go further, you've got something of a family history in the oil industry, or at least attached or sort of tangentially to the oil industry through American intelligence. Do you not, Charlotte?
Yes, yeah. And the other component, which I forgot to mention, is espionage, spying. Very fundamental. If you want to control oil or find oil, you need your spies to go out there. And my father was the first American master spy in the Middle East. So I'm taking you back to the end of World War II. And his last mission for the Central Intelligence Group, which was the immediate predecessor to the CIA, was to go to Saudi Arabia and to determine the route of the Trans-Arabian Pipeline, which was to funnel incredible rich Saudi oil to Europe via a pipeline that crosses the Arabian Peninsula and was supposed to have a terminal point in either, get this, Haifa, Palestine, or Lebanon, which is directly to the north. And it eventually went through Lebanon, and I think my father had something to do with it because he thought there was too much unrest in Palestine at the time. We were getting close to the creation of the State of Israel and fighting against the British, fighting Jews and Arabs, fighting each other. So he recommended it going to Lebanon. But anyway, he died shortly after on his trip leaving Saudi Arabia in a plane crash. I was just an infant at the time, but I have spent many decades investigating his death, and I started with that. You know, why was Tapline, this Trans-Arabian pipeline, so important? I found a great article in the New York Times, March 2nd, 1947, two weeks before the plane crash, and it goes into this incredible depth about these different powers that are vying against each other to control oil, and particularly Saudi oil at this time. And believe it or not, it was the French and the British and the Russians who were all spying against the Americans and doing everything they could to blunt American control over Saudi oil, and they failed. And it was the control of Saudi oil that catapulted the United States into being a world power, not only in the Middle East, but in the world. So having studied that, I began to apply pipeline politics, so to speak, to other conflicts in the Middle East particularly. And I focused in on the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan and discovered that there was an underlying oil motivation in both those conflicts. And, I've got maps to prove it. Pipeline maps. If you want me to elaborate, I will.
Well, no, Charlotte.
Read the book.
I recall the first and the second Persian Gulf War, and it wouldn't shock me at all. I've said many, many times, you know, I don't want to go fight another war over oil. But what I wouldn't have guessed is that perhaps what the Ukrainians' crime is, in no small part, at least in Putin's opinion, is he is getting, or the nation is effectively in the way of his delivery of petrochemicals to where it needs to go. How much of that do you think factors into his invasion and well, his larger plans, if you could read the tea leaves?
Yeah, okay. So the first big clue for anybody is the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. That was a pipeline that was recently completed and was to send Russian natural gas to Germany, and then from there it would be transshipped to other parts of Europe. The United States has been fighting that pipeline for, at least 4 years. The reason is that they did not want, the U.S. did not want Europe to become more dependent, even more dependent on Russian oil and natural gas as it already is. As it stands, Russia, Europe depends on 40% of its energy supplies from Russia. So if you were to do a timeline on the what leads up to the Russians' invasion of Ukraine, one of the things you'll find out, they're twofold. A, you know, constant efforts to weaken Russia's control of natural gas and its shipment throughout Europe, which is the basis of the whole Russian economy. That's how he's made his billions. He's been banking on the oil and gas sector. And so that's one of the factors. And the other factor is that there was a deal struck after the dissolution of the Soviet Union way back in 1992 that the NATO would not advance any closer to the borders of Russia. It would not advance one inch. And this was in writing. And then what happened is that deal was constantly broken, and the NATO countries, once with the dissolution, the military supplies that was being shipped to these former Soviet republics and enclaves had the Russians very concerned. They could see that there was military encroachment on their own boundaries, and when you've got missiles that they would not have been able to stop if they were fired from Ukraine. Well, you can understand the national security concerns that Putin had. And Putin actually, and his foreign ministry and so on, protested many times, even right up to the eve of Russia's invasion. So, I mean, there are other factors. And, you know, Putin's trying to revive the glory of the great mother Russia and the Soviet Union. That's certainly part of him trying to restore these former territories. And but there are these other very important economic concerns that he has and which the West has, and they're competing with each other. They're fighting each other. And so, you know, I say a plague on both their houses. They're gambling, you know, seriously gambling. And if something could just go wrong and just spark a third world war, possible nuclear war, and we all stand here as just bystanders, feeling very edgy about the whole thing.
Charlotte, if people would like to read your book, and I know you've got multiple titles, I've got one of them, Follow the Pipelines, Uncovering the Mystery of a Lost Spy in the Deadly Politics of the Great Game for Oil. And I believe you've also got a specific writings about the Ukraine-Russian conflict. If people want to find your writings and educate themselves and maybe, if not feel better, at least understand it better, Charlotte, how do they buy the books?
Okay. So first of all, I've set up a website called followthepipelines.com, and I'm still just getting it started, but I've started to post articles on Ukraine. And so they can go there, and they can also read more about my book there. Then they can get the book from my publisher, Chelsea Green. They can order it on Amazon.com.
Charlotte, going to have to stop you there. Thank you so much. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
never get involved in a land war in Asia.